In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we have the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. It says many things in this parable. This parable is extremely rich in theological textures and colors. All parables are, but some more than others. For instance, this one, or the parable of the Good Samaritan, are really incredibly deep wells of theology. There's something very important in this parable. Theology is important, but what's really important is how we should live. Because theology doesn't do you any good unless you live it. And this parable teaches us a principle of how we should live. Something that should be on our mind. I don't mean, you know, literally you're thinking it when something's happening. But it should be a principle by which you live. Something which guides everything you do. It's what Abraham said to the man in hell, the nameless man in hell, when he entreated him. And Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but he is comforted now, and thou art tormented." The one with eyes to see and ears to hear sees that this is describing how we should live. How we should approach everything in life, without exception. Everything in life is a trade. We've learned this from economics. Why don't we learn it in our spiritual life? Our common folk wisdom knows it, and yet we don't live in this way. We have things like, what goes around comes around. Or your chickens are coming home to roost. Or you get what you deserve. Or you reap what you sow. What do all these things say? They basically say, how you live affects what happens to you. And it is true. And it is something we forget. So one could look at this parable and say, well, I'm not real rich. And I do give to the poor, and I would never be so callous as to ignore a beggar by my door. And that all might be true. But that's not the point of the parable. Just like in the Good Samaritan parable, it's not about whether someone gives hospitality to someone or not. You know, the two that went by, the man who was injured and left half dead, they didn't help him. And people interpret that wrongly as meaning that the point of the parable is that you should be kind to others, and if you're not kind to others, then you're sinning. There's plenty of places where the gospel tells us to be kind to others. There's a principle that is being taught by this parable. And it's how we should think about life. How we should order our affairs. In everything we do, everything we say, everything we think about, everything that we plan for, all of our priorities. And you can see this principle in action if you are careful all the time. What you do affects what you become, affects whether you will be blessed or cursed. Everything you do. It's not just a few things. It's not just what you do on Sunday or what you do on Tuesday or certain things you say or do. It's everything. Now certainly the rich man had sinned in a grievous way by ignoring one of his peers who was terribly sick, and it could have been relieved with very little effort and really no cost to the rich man at all. But don't let that fool you. The real point of the parable is you can have your things now or you can have them later. Every single thing that we do should have this idea imbued in it. The apostle wrote to the Galatians and he said, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Why? Lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Cowards who made a choice. Now, that wasn't like one event that occurred that they can point to. It was just an overall way of living. They made their choice to have men appreciating them and giving them praises rather than God. They didn't think of it that way. Did the people in the gatherings think of it? That when they told Christ to leave after he had healed their two of theirs who had been demon-possessed and caused all the swine to fall into the water because of the demons possessed the swine, did they think for a moment, oh, we're telling God to leave and we're going to suffer greatly the rest of our life because we have rejected God? No. They just were afraid and angry that they had lost their livelihood and that their way of commerce had been exposed, which was, of course, illegal, right? To raise pigs, for Jews to raise pigs. So what did they do? They just, without thinking only of themselves, only for the moment, asked him to leave. And he did. And they were not aware of what happened to them until the end. Not the next day or the day after that, or 10 years after that. But later on they would find, after they died, what they had lost. Just like the rich man, when he died, found out what he had lost. Probably the rich man gave alms and went to the temple and might have been a loving father and everything else. But he didn't live by this principle that you can have your good things in this life or in the next life. Well, really, we shouldn't say it as or. Basically, everything should be a choice. Certainly, there can be good things in this life. The Christian life is not asking you to reject everything that's good. It's not asking you to be cold and not turn on your furnace when it's cold for some sort of asceticism. The Christian life is asking you always to make a choice. What is the right way to live? What is the right way to be? What is the right action for this time? And it's always what Christ would do. And if we can make the wrong choice, and most of the time we're not even aware of what the repercussions of that choice would be. But it is a choice, and it does have eternal consequences. This is a principle that the holy, that's the way they lived. And the reason we're not holy is because we don't live that way. Occasionally, yes, but not all the time. We're not consumed with the love of God, so that all we care about is what His will would be. So we make bad choices constantly. To be angry with someone when we could control our anger. To slander someone when we could be silent. To go to bed when we don't and not pray when we could have prayed. To be lazy, to be indolent, to be self-indulgent. All these things are choices. And Abraham is saying to us, noetically, you've chosen your things in life. It's a terrible thing when you think about it. Everything that we choose has consequences. Everything. You know, the Lord says that every word is recorded. Every word is remembered. What a horrible thing. Would any one of us want to have a movie made of our worst moments, of the things we've said that we're most ashamed of, the things we've done that we're most ashamed of? God remembers it all. We remember almost nothing. Hardly remember what we did yesterday. But God remembers. And it's all cumulative. We have to make choices every day, and those choices add to other choices. I remember once someone told me that this person was in a sinful relationship, knew that she shouldn't be in it, said, well, you know I shouldn't, but, you know, it's just the way things have turned out, and now, you know, we have one apartment, and there's financial reasons, and this and that, and he wouldn't understand, and blah, 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 and eventually, you know, we'll get married, and God will forgive me. And that's true. Eventually, they could get married, and God would forgive them that sin, I suppose. But the moral formation that she could have had from making the right choices, that was gone. Those choices had already been made. And that strength that she could have obtained from those choices, she didn't obtain it. Does that mean someone's going to be damned or not? I don't know. And really, it doesn't matter. Not when you're making the choice. Because a Christian just says, I'm going to do the right thing now. That's what this parable's saying. I mean, there's a lot of, like I said, rich theology about this parable. It's very beautiful and very intricate. I once gave a homily where I went through it very, very carefully. It's one of my longest homilies of all time. I've stopped doing that because it was probably 25 minutes. I guess as I get older, I look for the take home. What is the really important thing? You can understand this parable is about the Jews and the Gentiles. You can understand it's something about the afterlife. You can understand it shows that we have our memories intact in the afterlife. Now that's a frightening thought. If we are not with God and we remember everything, and our personality intact, and our desires intact, and yet no way to fulfill them. It has all those things in there. And they're all very important. But if you don't live according to the principle Abraham gave to the rich man, then none of it matters. None of it. Doesn't matter at all. Because you have missed the point. The point is we are Christians. We should live as Christ taught us to live. Every moment. Every decision. And this is not just decisions about should I keep the fast today or not, or should I slander someone or not, or should I do something that's sinful or not. The most important decisions we make are really, what kind of person am I going to be? That's what St. Paul is talking about. People who had basically chosen to be cowards. Chosen to be Christian in name, but not in spirit. And that colored everything they did. An immoral man cannot know God. And those were immoral men. And we are immoral if we do not, with our every bit of our heart and our soul and our being, desire to follow God in all things. That should be our priority. Many times, to most of you probably, I said, what is the most important thing that you do every morning? When you get up, what's the most important priority you have? It is to be a Christian. To live as a Christian. You've got whatever else to do. A test to take, work to go to, this and that, all kinds of cares and troubles in the world. But the way you measure the success of your day is, did I live as a Christian? When there were these inevitable times of temptation, how did I act? Did I make a choice for God, or did I make a choice for myself, or for someone else, or for something that was not of God? Did I even know that it happened? Or was I unaware because I just went bebopping through my day, not even remembering that I am a Christian, and I have to live a certain way as a Christian? And there is a reward for being a Christian and living in a certain way. If you don't become something, how can you know God? You have to become like Him to know Him. Every decision we make, everything we do, every priority that we have, everything we wish for, all of our ambitions, all of those things, if they are with God, then we are in God. And we are with Christ. If they're not, then we aren't. And for the most part, when we make poor decisions, we're like the people of the Gadarenes. They didn't know what the consequences would be. We don't either. When we're too lazy to say our prayers, we don't know what the consequences are from not saying our prayers that night. When we choose to have thoughts about a person that are angry, we don't know the consequences of those thoughts. And yet even psychology today understands that when people hold angry thoughts in their heart towards people, it causes great distress in every aspect of their life. Now, they don't exactly understand exactly what's happening spiritually, but they can see what happens. On the outside, everything matters, brothers and sisters. Not just the big stuff. There's no big stuff and little stuff. Everything's about being a Christian. And this is the principle we should live by. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. That is, you made your choices for the things you wanted, and you got them. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Let's remember this. Like I said, not that you have to recall it in your head every time something happens. It must guide your life. It must be the way you live. That's what defines a Christian. If he lives according to these principles in his heart. So let's live like Christians today and tomorrow and the next. Let's remember that everything we do, say, think, desire has eternal consequences. And may God help us. Amen.